everything's kind of up for grabs right now in AI search. Like the metaphor of like first graders, 3-year-olds in a room with a pizza, it's like, get messy. Like they're going to rip that pizza apart, right? So we want to do it as well. Like we want to basically, you know, enable marketers to try new things, win queries, win searches, and start thinking about, you know, how they appear in AI.
Welcome back to Talking Too Loud, the show that's serving up the loudest takes on building businesses, top-notch products, and unforgettable brands. I'm Chris Savage, the co-founder and CEO of Wistia, and this week we're getting loud about getting seen in an AI-first world.
Ooh, baby.
You want to get seen?
People are hungry for this.
I think they're starving for it. They're very hungry. And we have a juicy episode. We're going to be talking about how AI is rewriting how people find information, how it's not just going to be 10 blue links anymore. That's already changed. We're in a new world of answers, summaries, citations, sometimes not even showing your brand name in the results. And if you're already in business, can be kind of scary, right? Like you've got a lot of organic traffic you've built over many years. You've been playing the old game. What are you doing?
SEO. The old SEO.
So we're excited because today we have Josh Bliskell, who's leading AEO strategy and research at Profound. AEO is answer engine optimization. And Josh works with lots of global brands in his role at Profound to help them figure out how to stay visible in answer engines. So it's basically the answer to this question. How do you show up in AI search? What should you do? Well, that's what we have for you in this episode today with Josh.
Josh is the answer.
Josh is the answer. Welcome, Josh. Let's start with the basics. Answer engine optimization is a term that a lot of people are hearing for the first time. Can you explain AEO and how it is different from SEO?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, right now in this space, people are, some of you might have heard of generative engine optimization, GEO, AEO, LLMO, AIO.
Throw the acronyms at us.
Yeah. The acronyms, wild. We prefer AEO at Profound. Like GEO, it's like we already have geography. You know, it's already, you know, AEO is ownable.
Taken.
GEO is, right? GEO's taken. But you may have seen GEO around there. This behavioral shift we're seeing right now, and this is kind of a meta moment right now in society where like people are just, they're moving to chatbots, they're moving their answers, their source of truth into ChatGPT, into AI overviews, using Google AI, AI mode, right? And so we've got this moment where this behavioral shift's happening, but the attribution shift is not, right? The measurement shift is not, the KPI shift really isn't happening. And so what really becomes a problem for marketers and companies and CMOs and boards, kind of everyone in the marketing funnel in the cycle here, is how do we understand how visible we are across these new experiences if people are now searching on them, if they're going to be the new default search, if this is the direction that search is moving in. And so, you know, one element of what Profound does is we provide that data and analytics layer into the real results from real prompts that show how often you're showing up, how often your website's being cited, basically how your brand's perceived across, you know, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of actual ChatGPT, Perplexity, Copilot, you know, there's like a baker's dozen of these answer engines out there, how your brand's showing up. And even now with a new launch that we have, the Conversation Explorer, what people are actually searching. So we actually have this incredible database now of real ChatGPT prompts that we can use to understand the volume, the topic weights, like basically, what's the actual search difference between AEO and SEO? How are people actually searching?
How do you get that?
Oh my God, it's a pain. It's a real pain. That's why we're happy to have done it. We lean into the hard things, like at the company, like the philosophy of the company is find the hardest problems in the space and just like hyper aggressively pursue them.
Yeah.
It's real ChatGPT user data. Without saying too much, we've assembled it from basically a conglomerate of like 40 something data panels. We've got some of the best data providers in the industry. It's not directly from OpenAI, just as a disclaimer, but it's actual user prompts. And we've got some cracked data scientists. Like we have an awesome team. Our awesome team has been working on this since like October, November as a concept. We released it last week.
Got it.
It's the first of its kind in the industry. Yeah, we're like beyond thrilled to have it out, and it's only going to get better.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a big deal. And it is a huge shift, right? Like,
yeah,
SEO had a long time to build and mature and for people to even figure out what it was. And then, but like Google was in its infancy, right? And the scale of it was a lot less. And now I feel like where we are today, the scale is so massive already for like so many people relying so deeply on Google SEO best practices for like how to get their products, their companies like indexed and show up the right way. And they do their best job of showing up. And now very rapidly, when you look at the growth of all the AI search, it's crazy, crazy growth of all the new upstarts. Plus like Google making this big shift to like AI mode, we're basically in the darkness, but the scale of it is so huge from the get-go. That's what to me jumps out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, it's driven by users, right? Like I think the craziest thing that I think of as the most exciting part of the space is that Google finally admits it, that like chat is going to be the future of search. Like they are doing AI mode. That's not just like some niche little Google experiment. That's on the main search engine for North America. That's really happening. They're like, all right, we admit it, OpenAI. We admit it, Perplexity. People like to chat when they search. And you know, every industry is trying AI. You know, you got AI in healthcare, AI in accounting, AI, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's trying to do it. And so the most exciting thing about the AI search space is like, all right, AI is confirmed. We're doing AI in search. AI, LLMs, this is the way to get people the results they want. This is the way to get people the value faster in search. And as long as you're going to be able to, I mean, time to value, right? Like easier things win long run, right? So it's definitely an incredibly, I mean, it's buoyed. It's an incredibly buoyed shift by, you know, just user demand. It's not something we have to convince people to do. If anything, it's like, I think brands would wish to be able to convince people to hold on while they adapt their strategies, if anything.
And do you think, given this big shift happening so rapidly, this black box, you all are trying to make the black box less black, less opaque, make it more clear. Do you see this as an evolution of where we were before, or do you see this as a AEO as like a total rewrite of where we were?
Yeah, honestly, I think in this space right now, I think it could very well be a total rewrite because we're in this situation where the architecture is totally different, the infrastructure is totally different, the way people ask questions are totally different. But there's also this world where, you know, that answer is actually undecided, right? You know, one thing that people really don't know is that ChatGPT itself, the actual Bing API that ChatGPT is based on, is going to get deprecated in August. That news came out through, you know, the Microsoft Bing like API homepage. If ChatGPT partners with Google as its main search partner, that changes everything about the centralization of the space. Like even that itself is
that
a massive moment. Yeah.
That would mean that, you know, probably a lot more of it is based off of at least historic SEO and you know, things like that. So that's probably like incumbents and things the way they were more likely to stick around versus if they were to go with like the fact that they were going with Bing before also created more opportunity. If they were to do their own thing or if they were to go with DuckDuckGo or something else, like there's much more potential change in the space.
They're building their own index. And we can see that not within their data, but within our data. We're monitoring site logs. We're monitoring their indexing.
Yeah.
There's a ChatGPT user bot that's just based on indexing the web.
Yeah.
We can see that index bot is building like this incredibly dense index over the last 6 to 8 months. They've been just at it, just hammering websites.
That makes sense. I think it's very interesting that when you get an answer in AI, it's not one link. It is a combination of a lot of links and a lot of research, which to me makes me think that it's going to be harder to game. Like it's going to be a lot harder to game, right? Like, because if you're, let's say you're searching for a product to help you with B2B, keep it B2B, that's what I know, but it's like searching for a B2B product to help you. Before you might have searched for some keyword, try to guess. You don't know what the category is. That's why you're searching, right? You don't know what the product is. That's why you're searching. So you'd guess, you'd get a blue link. You'd go on something related topic maybe and find your way to it. Now, in your answer, it's going to be looking at like every review of you. It's going to be looking at how much social media chatter there is. It's going to be looking at how much discussion there is on community. At some point, I imagine we're going to be pulling billing data in, right? Because it's going to be pulling in data from people's emails or they're going to partner with the billing companies. They're going to have some way of understanding this. So then you might actually see this is a product that is low churn, that has high user satisfaction, And it might actually be really small, like a small company, not one that could game the system or pummel the waves with like brand ads. But it might be the smallest product, but it's the best, most well-rooted. In that world, I think that product is probably going to do a lot better organically than it used to. Do you agree with that?
I think right now, I think there's a future vision. I think there's a current vision right now, basically. Yeah. I think it's insane right now what's going on in the current space, which is that it's just like in current AI search, it's like there's like a pizza in a room and it's surrounded by first graders. Like it is like it's time to get grabby. Like it's actually everything's kind of up for grabs right now in AI search because the ranking signals and the search complexity and the depth isn't necessarily as deep. Like I'm not even going to get into the technicals, but like the search folks over at OpenAI and Perplexity are awesome, but they built a system fundamentally that's like an engineering product. It's like it's a performant search system that returns optimal results in the optimal way. They're not thinking about optimizers. They're not thinking about marketers. They're not thinking about brands. Yeah. They're thinking, how do I get web results into the user's vision? And I think eventually the space is going to get a lot more complicated because the incentives, the dollars, the brands, the information, all of that has value. And I don't think it's been appropriately priced in yet. So like, I think right now we can start to see that start though, because if you look at some of the top results within AI search, I have this data set of 177 million citations. It's a really sick data set. I'm like, I love it. I reference it for almost everything. It's a really sick data. I love it. It's a great data set. But what it tells us at Profound is that 32.9% of all of the citations in the space are for listicles and comparative content. So what does that mean for brands? It means that the answer engines right now are driving towards the marketplace of answers, or it's like a marketplace. They want every brand to transparently provide a breakdown of everything that it does so that it makes ChatGPT's job really easy. So when someone asks, what's the best CRM? Like HubSpot's done all the work. It's made a beautiful comparison table in HTML. It's made a beautiful broken down article where it talks about its services, products, all the different hubs. And you know, you can go through, pick it up, and ChatGPT can provide that to the user. Because right now in the basic world, ChatGPT doesn't want to make opinions. It wants to grab existing opinions and then co-opt those and show those to the user. I think eventually, like you've seen deep research, I hope, you know, most of the audience here has at least like seen it or heard of it. That is the first kind of tool of its own where it will do the depth. It will make its opinion. Bringing that into a space where it can be much faster, much more efficient, is a world where it's going to be really hard to hide as a brand. I do expect that to be the truth.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I use deep research a lot. Mm-hmm. And that is my experience with it, is like I'm getting much more well-rounded answers. And it is a lot harder to hide. You like hide your flaws and issues. And so it does seem to me that like that will eventually be one of the most important things that people use when they're doing the research into these products, which we already knew there was this massive trend the last 10 years of people doing way more research before they actually hit your website and signed up. And now, when you basically, everyone has like an analyst in their pocket ready to go, it seems like that's just going to get more extreme.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it really is like telling an analyst to go sit down after lunch and just figure out everything about CRMs and then give me the CRM I should buy. Boom. It's like, okay, and let me do that in 3 minutes and let me make it personalized to you.
I can't tell you the number of times I've been having a conversation with somebody about some new product, industry, something. And we're like, well, let's just quickly spin up a bunch of research. And so we go and we do deep research on like 5 different things, keep the conversation going. 10 minutes later, we have all the answers. And that would have taken months before. Like you would have to believe, like, I need to put someone on this problem, come back, have this. And instead, the conversation just flows and continues. It's like a completely different thing.
It's amazing. I mean, it also explains the commercialization of Reddit. Is a great like cause and effect piece here, right? Like everything, it was turning into a high intent purchase. Like you're going to buy like a toaster. Am I going to buy a toaster without checking Reddit? Am I going to buy am I going to buy a blender without going on r/blenders or whatever?
You'd be crazy.
You know, but it's like, it's a space where high consideration brands are thriving right now in AI search because there's such a body of research. There's such an expectation of doing those searches that people want to automate that entire process, and they know they already want to trust something external. They don't know quite what yet. And so what's basically replacing Reddit, what's replacing, you know, people are smart enough not to trust the pay-to-play listicles anymore. Like the pay-to-play listicles are funny because those are also the most cited sources in ChatGPT. So it's like this world where like you're being fed the food you probably wouldn't eat, but because it's in kind of the hamburger, you're like, all right, delicious. Let me just have that whole hamburger.
That's very funny.
But you don't know what's in that ground beef, right? So it's all paid listicles for the most part, which is funny. Like it's a ton of that kind of content. And Reddit's, to OpenAI's credit, we're big on kind of basically measuring, calling out what we're seeing. To OpenAI's credit, Reddit citations are up 400% in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Like Reddit right now is popping off in ChatGPT because I think they're turning that dial and saying, all right, let's jump into UGC. Perplexity's always been on Reddit, but it's now the first time that, like, for most companies that we work with here at Profound, at least, their most cited single source of truth is like 10 to 15 Reddit threads.
That's wild.
Big change, huge change for most brands.
That is completely, it's like night and day. Well, like let's just kind of wrap a bunch of these things together for somebody who's listening, they're thinking about this, and they're a brand and they want to show up in these AI answers. What does that really take today? So you've said a few of these different things, but what would you suggest somebody do today about like the content to create, where to do it, how to think about it?
Yeah, the interesting thing with showing up in AI answers is that people either assume typically one or two things. Like they either assume that it's super aligned with SEO or that it's like totally different and that none of these lessons are going to apply. And the truth of the matter is that it really is like a fusion of SEO plus kind of specializing in a few key things that answer engines prefer and care about. I think if I have to give one sense of advice, it is to produce hyper-relevant, hyper-specialized content on almost like on an individual query level. Like if you want to win for what's the best CRM for small businesses, you better go and create that exact page and have the single best page on it with great data, pricing information, hub information, breakdowns, and like a bunch of FAQ schema about kind of every sub question that someone might ask. That's the way to start with the influence. If you want to like 10x your influence, it's about cross-posting, distribution, things like URL slug optimization. There's tons of technical little idiosyncrasies, but like one thing that's really popular right now is you make your blog post, you know, top 10 CRMs for SMBs. Great blog post, you got it. You take that blog post, you put it onto LinkedIn, you put it onto Reddit, and you like literally distribute it to a few different UGC sites. And because the models are trained to reach like consensus, they don't want to just trust, you know, blog.tryprofound.com is everything. They want to grab, oh, well, this source on LinkedIn, which I'm not going to look too deeply into, says the same thing. It says that, you know, HubSpot's an awesome CRM. So I'm going to grab that. I'm going to grab the blog post. I'm going to grab something else, maybe a Reddit post. All right, cool. I have this answer. And it looks like HubSpot shows up in all three of these. Interesting. Very interesting situation. I'm going to recommend HubSpot as the number one.
Can I jump in on this?
Jump in, please. Let's get in.
Yeah. So you're saying, I just want to play back what I'm hearing from you and you tell me if this is correct, which is that thing that previously, first of all, you still should write the blog post.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of people think, oh, SEO dead, no more blog posts. No, like more blog posts. Like write the blog posts, put it on your site, then take the exact, in the old world, you would not take the exact same content that was on your blog and put it everywhere else because it would threaten the search. So like if you had this unique content, you would not take that unique content and put it on exactly as is on LinkedIn and all these other places. That would be bad for you. In the new world, it's actually good for you. So take the exact same thing and put it in the different, syndicate it effectively.
Yep.
And this is going to give more signals and sources to the AI search. And that is a pretty big difference. Huge. In terms of how to think about this, but also in its another sense of evolution. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And there's tons of things like that. Yeah. You're an AEO master already.
You really
it's
are.
True though.
But wait, now I have a question. Because before you both said that like brands won't be able to hide anymore. But what you just said to me is like, well, if you distribute broadly enough, you can still hide a little bit. Like you can still, right? Like,
I think there's such a vast chasm between like where search is at now and where we want like the democratized search to be in the future. Mm-hmm. Like right now it's GPT-4.0. It can like write 2 or 3, 5 basic search questions in every answer it gives. Max, I think it's 5. And it's limited. Like it has to rely on listicles. It has to rely on people already talking about products. if I'm going to ask like, what's the best running shoe? 4.0 is going to go to like 10 best running shoes list by, you know, Josh Bliskel, whatever. Then if I go to deep research, it's actually going to go to the Puma, Nike, Adidas websites. Grab all the different, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's crazy though. I keep going, but the thing I'll say is like this difference that you're calling out of the 4.0 version versus deep research. That is what I don't think most people are thinking about the difference for that. I certainly use deep research so much that I see that as like the main ChatGPT, but it's not, is what you're saying.
Not for most people. I mean, most people are still, you know, they've got the ChatGPT Plus subscription. They want the fast insights. Maybe, you know, right now our internal research, like maybe if you want the detailed answer, you go to O3 for most people. But this is like, this is still people just like hammering something on the smartphone at the grocery store asking like, what ingredients do I need for a key lime pie? Like this is totally different than like a B2B buyer, right?
Yeah, so to your question, Sylvia, I think what Josh is saying is like for the 4.0 version, it's that. And then the deep research version, you can't hide from as much. And so
because it's going to the sources. And it's
going to lots of different sources and pulling together and coming back with a unique perspective that is might literally be unique. It like should be unique to that day. Like you launched something, some company launched something the day before and it got great reviews or whatever. Your answer will be different the next day because it's effectively an agent doing the search for you and spending all this time and figuring out and analyzing it versus the AI search answer, which is going to be for each query, there is a consistent, you know, 3 to 5 things that come back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, I guess the eternal question though, right, is like if so much of the internet is garbage, to put it mildly.
Oh, a snort.
I made myself snort.
It doesn't happen every day.
Like, do you believe that deep research is going to help us become smarter, like get better insights? Or are we going to just like keep eating the hamburger that you alluded to and get sick and die?
Yeah, it's a really tricky question, I think. I think it depends on how much investment we put into. I think this is what I can definitely say is going to be true. I think in the future of AI search, I think GPT-5 is going to be cool. Like, great job, Sam Altman, release GPT-5, like pat on the back. I think GPT-5 is going to be a research product for academics. I think GPT-5 is going to be a huge model. It's going to be massive. And I think that that's going to be good for people who care about LLM stuff. For 99.99% of humans who want the answer to the question or just want to like get to do the thing they want, like because search is really evolving from like being the means to the end to being kind of the place where you do the thing. Like, I don't want to learn about how to make a marketing plan. I want to just make the damn thing. So search moves into that space. For those 99.9% of people, what we really want is like we want the smallest, fastest, cheapest, shittiest LLMs that are hooked up into the smartest indexes possible to pull us all the information. And at the end of the day, the LLM's only job should just be to present it in like coherent English. Tell me what you found. Don't like try to know everything yourself. Like if you look at like GPT-4 when it first started, it was super smart. You could ask it like you could almost ask it questions like Wikipedia, and people were treating it that way. And obviously that's where all the hallucination talk used to come from. And people were obsessed with like, oh my God, LLMs aren't accurate. Obviously they're not going to be accurate, but you know, I think in the future, the accuracy part, it's like such an inappropriate job for an LLM to have. So really what you care about is like the tiny little piece of the LLM that no one talks about, which is that little tiny search infrastructure piece. And so if that search infrastructure piece, that free version, that like publicly available version gets really intense and really detailed and really good, I think we're in a world where brands have to think in like multidimensionally about how they're showing up in a different way. I think the branding team, the PR team, all those jobs turn into like, it's almost like particle physics at that level, right? It's insane, right? Like one Yelp mention 3 years ago could have an impact on how something's perceived in a deep research prompt. Now it's insanity. And so, you know, we're definitely facing a world where attributing and understanding those things becomes like even more critical, right? Like if the search is that detailed, you need to make sure, you know, you are buttoned up to the max so that you can control exactly what's being said as much as possible.
Which is
that feels like a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. And it's also interesting because, like, on the marketer side, you're talking about finding the 3-year-old Yelp review that maybe you didn't respond to and you really need to like set the record straight. And you're literally setting the record straight.
You need now. like data detectives.
Yes. Yeah. But then it's also interesting because, like, from like running the business day to day, looking at attribution, you can't see the exact queries. You can't see any of this. In fact, like, you know, a lot of the time, what's probably going to happen is with this, the same thing we've seen in social media. And Mr. Rand Fishkin, our buddy who's been on the show a bunch of times, loves to talk about is the zero click marketing stuff, is like, people are going to see you in the AI answer. Then they're going to search in Google, or they're going to search just for your literal brand name.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to close this loop, is going to require things like open surveys where someone tells you where they heard about you, you know,
for now.
And I, that's how we see it now. Yeah. Like, and we see when we put those questions in there, we were surprised by just how much, traffic and signups we were already getting that we couldn't see was coming from AI search, but actually was.
It's totally true. Yeah. I see brands constantly between like 5 to 10. We have outliers that are as high as like 30 for like really tech focused, really like dev focused brands. But I'm like, I would say like 5 to 20% of traffic for some brands can come from AI. And they find out, they're like, hey, glad we had the kickoff call. Glad we chatted about what Profound can offer. We just like incidentally included it in our like inbound lead form. And oh my goodness, we did not know that was the case. We also like at Profound, we track the network logs. So once you get integrated into Profound, you know exactly what the referral traffic looks like. Mm. And so that's something we track, and it shocks people. We're like, did you know that 20% of your website's users, not even, you know, leads are great. Leads are awesome. 20% of the website users at all are just the bots. They're scanning, they're going on. But what we know from like conversion rates is that the conversion rates, I don't know if this is pretty popular research at this point. It used to be a really like granular insight, but the conversion rates from AI search, these are very warm leads. These are people, if someone clicks on you from ChatGPT, they are going to convert 3 to 7 times more likely than normal Google click. They are ready to go if they want to take that step. So it's a really interesting space in that way, where really the click ends up being kind of the conversion, right?
It's so different. And so we have talked a bit about this already. I'm going to ask the question anyway, which is, what do you think is coming next? Like what do you think we should expect with AEO going forward? What do you think is going to change with users' behaviors as they adopt and get even more used to this technology?
I mean, there's going to be personal search histories and algorithms. We're already seeing that with memories. So there's going to be that granularity. I think there's going to be a need for a ton of research on how does a memory affect a search result. Right now, our research is showing us if you're optimized for the medium tail, like if you're optimized for Blue Umbrella, you don't need to be optimized for Blue Umbrella, 3 feet, you know, diameter, waterproof in Seattle. You can just kind of own the medium tail, and any of those subqueries will work for you. But maybe there's a world where you need to actually create a page for like these ridiculously specific things. Like right now, the answer engines, that's what they're incentivizing. What you'll see on the platform in Profound is that like almost any question you can ask, you're going to see a specific resource, or the answer engine is going to want to find a specific resource. Around the corner also, just like very tactically for brands, is shopping, like big time. E-commerce is coming. It's like a 500-ton freight train just barreling towards the world. ChatGPT released their shopping. Perplexity was first to shopping about a year ago. It remains to be seen how well that's going to get picked up. Right now, I think the usage rate on that's pretty low. I think it's between like 0.6% to 0.9% of like all of the like ultra and pro users even. So like not a huge chunk, like of the public, it's like 0.01% of the public has ever bought something through ChatGPT. But the research right now is still really nascent as well. So we also have to see how well that all integrates. People love just, they see the branded ChatGPT, grab it, search it on Google, why not just destroy the attribution anyway? Yeah, it's great. It's just pure chaos on the attribution side for sure.
Yeah, it's pure chaos. But it's everything goes old school. That's what I've been saying. It's just exactly like, right. It's all going back first to principles. Old school stuff. And that's okay. Your sales team needs to ask people where they heard about you. If you have a sales team, you need to have people do self-reported attribution. They will do it.
Yes.
And yeah, it's, you have to get used to the more of that qualitative data. And on the other side here, you know, you're talking about having much more quantitative data to kind of demystify the whole thing. So
exactly.
It is a crazy time. I mean, it feels like every marketer should be stressed given the change, but I feel like I'm talking to people who are really excited about it. Maybe it's just like the excitement of the new challenge. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
It's invigorating. I think it's just a huge opportunity. I think by and large, the industry sees it as like a moment to kind of to rewrite the winners and losers. Like search, like I work with brands that have like 50x lower like total enterprise values of their biggest competitors that are like crushing them on AI search because they're just using the strategies appropriately. And so there's this like, it really is just like everything's kind of up for grabs. Everything is open. And I think for marketers who are tech forward and can see that, I think it's really exciting, like personally. I think you can even do this work. You can even do answer engine optimization without the quantitative insights just by getting messy with it. Like the metaphor of like first graders, 3-year-olds in a room with a pizza, it's like, get messy. Like they're going to rip that pizza apart, right? So we want to do it as well. Like we want to basically, you know, enable marketers to try new things, win queries, win searches, and start thinking about, you know, how they appear in AI. Because I think of the brands in the world, the ones that start doing that first are going to be the brands that win in 2026, 2034, 2048, right? Like we just have to think about the way that search is moving, the way that people find the things they want to purchase. As long as the dollars follow, everything else, you know, everything else is going to be built around it in time. So, you know, leaping in is not, you know, a bad idea now. We know we're going to do this.
I love that.
I was just going to say, going back to the hyper-specific content, and this is maybe a super specific question, is there more value in refreshing old content versus publishing it entirely new?
I'm going to be rude.
Be rude.
You're like, at least in AI search, it's like you want to refresh it. Refreshing is fine, but you have to do like a really good refresh. You got to refactor that thing. Like the whole, like 80% new. It's like it's that like parable of like the Greek ship that's like totally made of new parts, but is it still the same ship kind of thing? I forget what that's, you know what I'm talking about, right, Chris?
Oh yeah.
Whatever. You?
No, it's, oh yeah. The Greek myth ship. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. The Greek myth ship.
I know. I understand what you're saying. Is it, if you reclaim the wood on a house and you build a new house, is it the old house or is it a new house?
Gut the thing basically. You know, and most people are like, yeah, I'm going to refactor content. And I'm like, all right, are you really going to refactor content? And like, we're really going to do it. And then they change the title tag and they're like, why didn't the citations go up? So you really got to dig in there. You really got to mean it. Otherwise, new content's always better because you're starting from a fresh slate. Like if you're hesitant to actually just totally tear it out, just make something new, distribute it, you know, do the distribution strategy. Starting from scratch is always great because you can just lean directly into the AEO best practices and you're like, all right, I don't care about the traffic of the page. I'm less emotionally attached to it. Mm. If it kicks off an AI search, that's awesome. If it doesn't, whatever, it's a test. For the most part though, when you're doing stuff that's backed by data within AI search, because these systems are so predictable, it does kick off.
Well, I think that is a great place to wrap it because we're leaving on a very optimistic note here, which is like, there are things you can really do. There is a big change. It's going to take real work to do it. And it's going to take a different approach. But like, this does represent a moment of huge opportunity.
It's massive.
I think that's really exciting. And so, Josh, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely.
Where can people connect with you? Where can they learn more about you and Profound?
Yeah, I mean, Profound is at tryprofound.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can connect with our team on the actual website. Just request a demo. Check us out on LinkedIn as well. We've got great research coming out.
Can they see sick data sets?
They can see some really sick data sets.
That's going to be awesome. The sickest.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely check us out. Reach out. We love to show the platform off. Love to give people demos. You don't even have to really want to buy. Just come see us. It's absolutely great.
Awesome. I think one key thing in this interview with Josh that I'm already thinking about is this difference between the fast AI search answers where today in ChatGPT, that would be like 4.0. So you write something and you get the three answers back or five that are going to be the same for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then the deep research, which, as Josh said, not everyone is doing that as much. And I thought it was really interesting because when I think about where AI search is going, I think about the deep research. I think about this combination of all these different data points to create something totally custom for you that you need in that exact moment. And the AI search day is still a lot, very similar to how SEO works in terms of like everyone seeing the same results.
Yeah, that was super interesting. I think the other thing that I am pondering right now is just like, lots of people in B2B and tech are obviously steeped in this. But if you're not, like, it's really time to start playing around.
Oh, it is.
Like, it is too late. It's not too late.
It's not too late.
But it is time. It's not too late.
But I think that the best time to start was 2 years ago. And the second best time is right now. It's one of those things.
Because I feel like I've dipped my toe into deep research, but like I'm with the plebs over in, you know, GPT-4.
Yeah, you got to be doing some deep research.
Yeah. I did it once. It was kind of terrifying.
Why?
It was like too much.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've refined it. So it used to be like a wall of text. And then you're like, well, I don't really want a wall of text.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I would describe it as like most of the time when I use it, what I'm getting is like the reasoning. That's why it's called reasoning engine often. The reasoning to get to the answer.
Which I love. That I like. Like I loved in math when you had to like prove your work.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied by that. But
I tell you about the question that Olympia asked? She said, how many people, and she's always asking stuff like this, but she said, how many people in the world do you think are using the bathroom right now?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that was like the reasoning answer that went through and did it. And you go back and you look at it, and I've shown it to a couple of people who told me like AI hallucinates too much, who both left the thing being like, oh, actually, this looks really useful. Mm-hmm. Because you basically read along and you're nodding or not. You either agree or disagree. And often you'll see stuff that you would not have thought to do in your estimation. And you're like, oh, that's a good idea. Not everyone has toilets. And so that's what percentage of the population is that? Do I buy the guess? And I think it's very compelling for that reason. And also like the other reason it's so compelling is that so much of what we're doing is guessing normally. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a really fast version, but maybe with like an even better, more well-researched guess. And I think in that world for marketers, you know, if you think about optimizing for that, it's definitely different than like how you optimize for the AI search, as Josh was saying. Both are going to be incredibly important. And I think it's also interesting that it is this continuation of a trend that was already people doing more and more research and spending more time with your brand before they get to your website. This is just like a pretty extreme jump, it looks like, in making it even harder to get traffic to your website. But ideally, once the traffic gets there, it's hopefully like more qualified, converting higher rates, understands what they're getting in the first place.
The higher quality of conversion, that feels like a huge opportunity.
Yes.
And two, I mean, I know we talked a lot about the opportunities, but I'm always the scared one. I'm always the scared one. And that's okay. So if you're listening, or watching and you're scared, I see you.
Yeah.
And if you're and listening and watching, and you are pumped.
I see you.
You're stoked.
Yeah.
Savage sees you.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's a nice little note.
The yin and the yang.
And we'll see you again.
So soon.
Like in 2 weeks. Super
soon. Oh my God.
Bye.
Talking Too Loud is brought to you by Wistia. Hosted by Chris Savage. Produced by me, Sylvie Lubow, along with Adam Day. Executive produced by Wistia Studios. This episode was mixed by Maria Passingham of Edit Audio. Listen to Talking Too Loud wherever you listen to podcasts. And hey, rate and review us wherever you listen. And check out more content from Wistia Studios at wistia.com.